Hey, everybody, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from, oh man, at this point, it's like the 19th circle of hell, better known as the DPRNY. Fiend Bones and all that sort of stuff. Hey, what's going on, folks? We're back. It's the Freedom Fiends. Covered as always by Pipcot, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at pipcot.org. So, yeah, what's up? This is Jeremy. Got some extra fun tonight. We actually have multiple fiends on tonight for the first time in a while with me. Got Shane and John joining me tonight. What's up, guys?
What's up?
We are back together again.
Yeah.
The band back together.
Exactly. The former Sunday Night Crew is doing a show for the first time. And man, it's been months. We did our last one together a few months back now, I guess. And then everything went to heck in a handbasket, I guess, thanks to Michael. And I'm just kidding. No, we made our transition, and then it's been hard enough to get people together for shows. I actually was scheduled tonight to record for the first time in like forever with the Laughing Kitty, Diana Kyler. And unfortunately, she came down with a sickness yet again. Unfortunately, this seems to happen. Like, I kind of poked fun at her today earlier. Like, and we were talking back and forth. We were messaging back and forth. And at one point, I was like, you know, listen, I'm just not going to schedule you with you anymore. I'm just going to call you randomly and be like, you need to get behind the microphone right now. I don't care what you're doing, where you are. Just get behind a microphone because we're just going to do it. Because unfortunately, every time we schedule, even when we were still, when she was, you know, we were all still scheduling shows, our regular scheduled shows back last year, she missed a lot towards the end of the year. And, you know, it's almost always things out of her control. It really is. It's just unfortunate the way it works out that like almost every show she was scheduled to do, either she would be sick or something happened with a family member or, you know, one of her animals or just, you know, any, you know, work related stuff, just always crazy, you know, weather would keep her from being able to record. Like everything happened to her, unfortunately. And her and I were finally going to record tonight, possibly even two shows. And then she had to bail at the last minute again. But I put out the fiend phone call, and actually I got more responses than I was expecting, so I was really psyched. We actually almost had a full squirm tonight. We actually almost had Lusander fiend show up, and that would have been really cool because I can't remember the last time I did a full show like that with that many fiends. I don't know about you guys because we used to do the three of us used to do shows together. I don't know if you guys had much experience doing the full squirm shows.
Every now and then, and I've done one or two with Lou, and he's really great to do a show with.
Yeah, Lou's awesome.
Yeah, we all love Lou.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lou's...
Yeah, a lot of times it seemed like my internet wouldn't allow me to have that many people on at one time. Right now, we're at the beginning of the billing cycle, though, so it should perfect. Be all right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. We need to schedule you for shows around that time when you have the most bandwidth available. Yeah,
exactly.
That actually, unfortunately, that used to happen a lot with Fiend Phone with the last version of it, where if there was a lot of people, if there was a lot of people on the one line, then somebody with the weak internet would actually crash Fiend Phone for everybody. Whoever had the worst internet out of the bunch, if it dropped low enough, they would, if they were buffering hard enough, they would actually dump everybody. And thankfully, the great Derek Slopey updated the version updated Fiend Phone one more time. And now it actually just kicks out the offending party instead of kicking us all off the air. So if that
works, so I kept on getting booted.
Yeah, just kicks John out. It's like, sorry, man, not tonight. But anyway, so yeah, but it's Lou or no Lou. I mean, like you said, everybody loves Lou, and I mean, I believe Lou still holds the record on my on one of my other podcasts, The Seeds of Liberty, for the longest show we ever did. His first appearance, I think we closed in on 3 hours of actual showtime that went out as a podcast. I think it was like 2 hours and 46 minutes or something like that. It was insane. And it was largely bashing the Pauls, Rand and Ron, which was a lot of fun. but anyway, Lou or no Lou, we shall go on. So anyway, it's like we said, it's been a while. I've talked to you a bunch, Shane, but I guess the Freedom Fiend fans haven't talked to all of us in a while. So what's been going on with you, man? You were mentioning something before the show about some possible new things going on in your life. What's up, brother?
Well,
do tell.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know how a lot of us have been spending less time on Facebook and going over to other platforms like MeWe and so forth. Well, over on MeWe, there's like a whole new group of people I've kind of run into who are anarchists and voluntarists, but I did not previously, wasn't previously connected with them on Facebook. And so there's a lot of group chat stuff going on over there. And I have been chatting with a girl recently who I met on MeWe, and she's an anarchist and a voluntarist, and we do have a lot of stuff in common. And we've only been talking for about 5 days now, but it's actually getting kind of serious. And we're talking about actually meeting up hopefully soon within the next month or two. But she lives really far away, like down in Florida. So either she's going to have to come up here or I'm going to have to go down there. But she actually has talked about maybe renting a car and driving up here. Wow. Or, well, actually, I guess there's actual like rental cars that you can drive back for free to where they need to go. So she's talking about maybe trying to do something like that and then flying back to Florida. And so that would probably be taking place. Yeah, that's pretty Florida, far.
Well, no, I was going to say that. Like, I actually missed it. I was unfortunately reading an email. I caught an email from Michael as you were talking, so I missed where you said she was from. But as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, Florida woman. Not always a great bet.
Oh, you know? Actually, I mentioned to her how we make fun of people from Florida because of all the crazy headlines that tend to come out of Florida.
They have Twitter accounts. Both Florida of them, Man. Florida Man and Florida Woman both have their own Twitter accounts with the stories that come like just every day. It's a, you know, one of the crazy stories that comes out of Florida from some man or some woman.
Yeah.
I wonder.
My business partner with the Free Your Mind Conference lives out in Florida, but he is a little bit crazy too.
I haven't heard anything. I wonder why the SJWs aren't complaining. Shouldn't there be a, shouldn't there be like a Florida they or something like that? Or shouldn't they be calling for that? I mean, can you imagine the stories that come out of those? You know, the transgender yeah. Florida stories? I don't know, man. Equality and all. I'm surprised they aren't focused on stuff like that. but that's good, man. Funny you mentioned the MeWe thing. I still haven't spent as much time there as I originally planned to, although I'm trying hard to stay off most social media platforms for the time being, besides all the issues that I'm currently having, which we may get to later in the show. But the latest updates on the insanity of my life. But I do like the MeWe platform, and I remember last time around, 3 years ago, when people tried to make the shift to MeWe, and I was one of those people, and I had my account and used it for a little while and kept it going, and like would check in every like 4 to 6 months and see nothing was going on until this latest surge. I remember always liking the platform itself and like the group chat thing, where each group kind of comes built in. I think it's by default. You can turn it off, but I think by default, when you start a group, you automatically have a group chat that's involved, that's created, and everybody can participate. And at least in my experience, especially with this newest wave, more people seem to be participating in the group chats than actually posting in the groups themselves.
Oh yeah.
So, but
those group chats are blowing up.
Yeah, and because I'm either the owner or the one of the only current administrators of a number of groups that were set up at one point that I totally forgot about. And so I see all these things, so I can totally see how stuff like that would happen. That's cool. I miss out on it. Unfortunately, I think I mentioned this before that for some reason, I guess the MeWe wants you to use their app because I can't use the mobile site. I have a Firefox browser on my cell phone, and I can't use the mobile site to connect to MeWe like I do with Facebook. I use the mobile site instead of the app. I've never had the app because I hate all social media apps because beyond the privacy issues, they're such battery hogs. And they just kill my battery.
They are.
And, as I've said before, I listen to a lot of podcasts, or I use Waze or Cell 411. I'd rather have my battery available at all times for those things versus this, which I don't, so it's very inconvenient, and I'd just rather do the site. But MeWe doesn't allow me to do that. The only way I can seem to do it from my phone is if I get the app, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. So the only time I use MeWe is when I'm at my house in front of my laptop. So I miss out on a lot of those things. Like, I'll pop in on some of those conversations. But that's great, man. I'm glad you found somebody. I mean, yeah, it's a distance, but I mean, heck, if she's willing to fly, drive, whatever, hang out, see how things right. go,
Yeah, due to our schedules, I don't get vacation time until my 90 days are in. And then she is a licensed massage therapist, so she can kind of make her own schedule, but she probably doesn't have the time to do that until, say, July or August. But then I am actually planning on hopefully going down there, I think around September 12th or the 16th, because Derek's tour, which I think is now called the Liberate Your Mind tour this summer,
so John can
is going to be down.
I said, I'm sure John might be able to confirm that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
I'm pretty sure that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year it was the Decentralize Your Life tour, and now it's Liberate Your Mind tour, I believe. And he's going to be in Florida that week. And so that would be a good week for me to not only visit her, but also see Derek and be part of the tour again, which is coming to Cincinnati. But I might actually get to catch them not just at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest in Cincinnati, but I'll also hopefully get to see them in Florida as well.
So some people follow the dead across the country. Shane follows the bros.
he's probably been at more of those tour events than I have.
That's funny you said that, John. I was actually going to ask that. Now that you're, you know, as you've announced on a couple of the past shows we've done together, that you know you're doing much better these days. Are you actually going to be able to make it out to the tour this year, or are you going to sit this whole year out too and focus on the other stuff you're doing?
Well. I'm definitely not. If I do any, it's probably going to be the ones close by me.
Because, oh, sure. Of course.
When me and my wife planned a trip, a road trip to kind of celebrate me getting better and stuff. And, planned it. Exactly. And we kind of just wanted no stress and stuff like that. So it kind of ended up working out to be around the same time that Derek is doing his tour, and we're kind of going in different directions and stuff. So I'm just going to kind of take the time to unwind, because I still haven't, I've been cooped up in a house for 3 years and hospitals and stuff. So I'm going to try to make a couple of the dates, but for the most part, I'm just going to, take the beginning of my first summer better to kind of enjoy myself a little bit without any responsibilities.
Good call. Good call. Yeah. I was automatically not thinking of the responsibility. And I'm like, yeah, just go hang out on the tour, have fun. But of course, yeah, as somebody who, has been with Derek through all these things, I'm sure there would be responsibilities added if you're actually there. You're supposed to actually do things, right? People know you, you write books and articles and stuff. People, probably want to talk to you. And yeah, I could totally get with wanting to do just the one-on-one thing with the wife and be like, yeah, we're out. See you later.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yeah, you, and man. Then that's you have great. A specific schedule that you have to set to and everything. So this way, if we like a particular spot, we could just chill there for a couple days and then move on to the next spot instead of having to rush from city to city and only spend one day in there and, maybe see one or two things, because that's usually how the tours work out.
Yeah, I mean, never having followed one of those, I mean, I've heard stories, but I can imagine. But yeah. Yeah, but that's... Well, good for you, man. That's like I said, that definitely sounds a lot, that's the type of stuff I want to do anyway. And I'm not even, hopefully I will at some point have a lot to celebrate. still not on the level that you have to celebrate. Although,
It is what it is. Although, it's all relative, man.
The state has pushed me to the virtual edge, especially lately. So, it has become almost life or death for me.
I mean, it is kind of similar. I got cancer out of my body and you're getting your body out of cancer.
I'm trying, man. I'm desperately trying. That's great. That needs to be memed. It's rough here, man. It really is. It's every day I wake up and some other bit of stupidity happens where I'm just like it. I want to throttle people who are trying to help me and mean well and just want to try to say things to make me feel better. It's gonna happen, man. And you just got to be patient or things it can't be worse. And I know there's good intent behind those words when they're said. Like it even happened last night with Jen. We were sitting down talking after. The day before, where I had completely exploded because I had found out that the guy who was supposed to be taking care of the permits for my house, who I had given a deposit to, which meant handing him the deposit and signing the proposal he gave me, was supposed to initiate the contract and initiate him beginning the work on my job on the job that I asked him to do, and he was fully briefed ahead of time. And it was reinforced again right before I signed the proposal, the urgency of my situation and that this needed to be taken care of. Well, apparently somehow that message ended up getting lost anyway, because that was one of the things I had put to the side to like not have to worry about as much, because this is being handled by a quote unquote professional who I am paying to do the job of all the legwork to get this done with the town. So I don't have to deal with all that stuff. And I find out that he basically spent probably two and a half weeks not doing anything with my situation. Because when I called him, he told me that he had the plans ready that, you know, he was supposed to get done, which that he was then supposed to take to the town to put in the applications for the different for the permits that I'm missing. And the way he said it to me originally, I knew right away that he had literally just gotten these things done, the day before. And I immediately questioned him as to why it took so long. Why not only did it take so long, but I had been calling his office for over 2 weeks and he had not returned a single one of my calls. And this was after the initial problem where he came to meet with me, promised me everything would be fine, sent me a proposal, spelled my name wrong. He sent it to me in an email. So I emailed him back and said, hey, could you just send me one with a corrected spelling of my name? And then I will sign it and bring it in on Monday. He never responded to multiple emails. And then when I finally called him, he didn't respond to the first two phone calls. It wasn't until I actually tracked him down by running into him coincidentally when I went to his office to give the money and sign the proposal. Because I didn't want to deal with having anything be passed back and forth between email that never came. So anyway, so I should have known then. That should have been a red flag. But I was just so, you know, psyched to get this part of the thing over with. Anyway, I found out that, like I said, that he had just got it started on it. And when I questioned him as to why he hadn't done anything and why he had been ducking me, he didn't have an answer as to why he had been ducking me. He pretty much just brushed that question off multiple times. But in regards to not, you know, jumping on doing my work that I had paid him money to do, his only response was, well, other things came up. You kind of got pushed down the list. And after everything I've gone through and after every hoop I've been asked to jump through, it all comes back to the state. It all comes back to government. It's all government. Whether I'm dealing with a private company or not, through this entire process, whether my legal situation or the attempts to sell my house, they all have to jump through regulatory hoops from the government, which means I have to jump through these regulatory hoops and deal with all this BS. So I have been just dealing with this nonstop. And so once I heard that, you know, after dealing with this for months on end now, and the sale of my house being delayed and delayed and delayed, even though I've jumped through every hoop that's been put in front of me, to hear that I had been pushed down the list by somebody who's not only like, you know, promised me this, but stood in my kitchen, looked me in the eye, shook my hand, promised me this, that this would get taken care of. He understood the urgency. He would get working on it right away. I lost it. I just absolutely lost it. And I ended up screaming at him to the point that he ended up offering me my money back, where even though the money I gave him was supposed to be a non-refundable deposit, but I threatened fraud, going after him for fraud and everything. So he offered the money back. And the last words I believe I screamed at him was, I don't want the money. I need this job done. Just do your Feinsteining job, and hung up the phone. And so that was my day yesterday. And then today, I found out that the guy who came here to clear the business, the illegal business violation that had been put on my house that I had not been aware of, that I had not been aware of until I tried to sell the house, who came here with the sole intent of checking the house out to make sure there was no illegal dog business here so he could clear the violation. And then once he got here, I found out that he was a friend of both my lawyer and my former town clerk cousin, both of them are technically my cousin-in-laws, but that he was friends with both of them. Like, I had no reason to think that when this guy, again, shook my hand, looked me in the eye and said, don't worry, this will be taken care of first thing tomorrow morning, had no reason to suspect that there would be an issue with that. Well, a week and a half later, I found out he never cleared the violation. So the sale of my house has continued to be held up. And because a closing date can't even be set yet, because the buyer's bank refuses to set a closing date until this violation is cleared, which I'm not blaming them for. because, you know, they're covering their butt. I understand that, which they're forced to do through the government regulatory structure. So thanks, government. But and then, you know, and then to top everything else off today, I got locked out of my credit card because I was delinquent on my payments, even though I spoke to collections last week to tell them that I was quite aware that I was delinquent on my payments and that I was just waiting for the sale of my house to go through and that they could check, you know, they could check into the fact that my house was already under contract and literally I was just waiting for a snag to get cleared up and then there was going to be a closing date. And not only would I be giving them the money they wanted for that month for the credit card, it would be getting paid, getting me paid off in full. The mortgage I have through them would be getting paid off in full and any other outstanding balances I happen to have with their institution would all be getting paid off in full as soon as that took place. And the woman on the other end of the phone said, "Okay, sir, that's not a problem. You have a good standing history with us. I'm going to note this in your account. This way, the next time anybody calls you, they will see this in the account. And, you know, you should be good for another month from, you know, now. You may still get calls from the automated service, unfortunately. We can't stop that. You know, another one of those things, technology, so wonderful, but they can't stop it once it's in progress somehow. We can't stop that. But once a live person gets on the phone, they'll see the notes and you'll be okay." So again, I walked away from this going, "Oh, okay. I was told I'll be okay for another month." A week later,
Don't worry, sir. Yeah. You have nothing to worry about.
Exactly. A week later, I'm told I can't access the last, you know, couple grand that's in there that I was counting on getting us through these last couple of weeks. And the only way to access it is to pay the minimum payment just so I can access it, which I don't have the money for the minimum payment because the current minimum payment is over $1,000. Like, I am caught in like the most horrible vortex. And, you know, I unfortunately, people who try to help me and try to like say things to like make me feel better end up like, I just want to throttle them at some point. You know, unfortunately, even poor Jen last night, she said it to me, you know, she was trying to point out like things could be worse. One of the girls could be sick or she could be worse physically off or whatever, all these things. And I'm like, of course, all of these things could be true. But number one, thanks to the way she set things up originally, which I didn't want to, and I've spoke about this publicly before, so this isn't a shock when she finally hears this. Sorry, honey. But, you know, she went ahead and got Medicaid for her and the girls against my wishes when things first started going badly with us, and I couldn't really stop her because we were never legally married, and there was nothing I could do because the state would always side with her. So I just like, all right, whatever. I'm like, so number one, yeah, I don't want anything to happen to the kids, but at least that would actually be covered in the moment. I'm like, so, you know, that doesn't really concern me as much. However, I do know it can get worse because every day it manages to get worse somehow. And sure enough, today it managed to get worse twice. Or by an extra twofold. So yeah, and rant. That's what I've been up to, guys. That's been the last last couple of days in the saga of my repeated attempts at escaping the DPRNY.
Well, I hate to try to give you words of encouragement, but you know how they say it's always darkest before the dawn. So hopefully, the darker it gets, the sooner the dawn will come.
Yeah, I hope so. I gave a lot of credit yesterday to a friend of the show and actually the person I did the last Fiends episode with, Paul Gordon, who actually was one of the few people because Jen actually didn't know what to do because I wasn't talking to her. I was just so mad. And I was on the verge of like clock tower status yesterday. Like I was looking for one to climb and just start picking off town employees. Like I was so livid. Like I was just at the end of my
world. Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
I don't know. This is all satire, of course. So, you know, allegedly. This is the times that I really miss James Weeks and his quick on the trigger use of the Pocket Alibi app.
You're just speaking figuratively.
Of course. I would never actually climb a clock tower. I don't think we actually have one.
I just figured we should clarify that this is all satirical.
No, I was ready to give up, basically. That's what that meant. You know, I really was. Like, and I talked about this. I did a video last night about it. I was really at the end and like really just to quit.
Cause I'm sorry to hear
it's gotten
brother.
So bad. And I was like, man, I just can't do this anymore. Like, you know, everything is going wrong in this process. I'm never going to get out of New York. Like, and Paul was one of the few people, because Jen reached out to a couple of people that she knows through that she talked to the last time I went through troubles, and she was just like, maybe you could talk some sense into him. And one person tried to empathize and say things more that not necessarily that I wanted to hear, but like, you know, he knew would jive better with me and, you know, not come down on me in any way.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
And then there was Paul, who said some of those things and then smacked me up the head, upside the head a lot. But I did need that. But it was along those lines about, you know, listen, here's the reality check for you. It's most likely going to get darkest before the dawn. He's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, some people say, yeah, it can't get worse, or, you know, hopefully it don't get worse. He's like, no, it's probably going to get worse.
Yeah.
But I needed to hear that at the time. So, oh, man.
And I think Paul and even Dave, they mentioned doing like a podcast-a-thon to try to raise money. And I figured they both said like go 24/7 until you can't, you know, go any longer. But I figured something easier than that might be to start a GoFundMe, which you did, I noticed. And
yeah, I took your advice over there. So thank you for that.
Yeah. And I even donated.
Yes. Yes. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your service, sir. Yeah, I really didn't want to. The only time I've ever had a GoFundMe was last year when the legal issues first started. And I had nothing to do with it. My friends actually set that up for me and actually got it set up so Jen was able to get the money, even though none of them knew her at the time. Because we were not together, you know, we weren't back together at the time, and you know, nobody had any idea what was going on with her and I or whatever. But a bunch of friends of mine set that up on their own, and can, you know, set things up with her and ended up working with her through that. So I've never actually set up, and I've tried to actively avoid doing this because I mean, sure, I beg for money on my own shows with, you know, hashtag please donate with our Patreon and stuff like that. But that's just for the content I put out. But I've never, like, I really don't like to ask for money. You know, I've already had to beg my dad for enough money through this process, although my dad's been awesome, and because he's pretty much the only family member who's still standing with me through all this. And I don't want to bleed him dry because I've already promised him he'll get his money back too. His money back as soon as I sell the house. You know, so I've been trying not to tap him. And I just, when you said it today, I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't really think I have much of a choice because, I mean, I'm trying to sell things too. I mean, that was obviously mentioned to me. People are like, well, you're selling your house. Aren't there things you don't need that you could probably sell? I'm like, I've been trying to. There's a bunch of, like, especially kids stuff, like in really good condition too, that I've been trying to get rid of for months actively, and just outside of actually doing a yard sale, because with my current predicament with the legal system here, I don't want anybody like trying to be a Schumer and, you know, report me for having one without a permit or something, or some BS that nobody would ever get harassed for, but I, you know, I could. And I don't really want to risk that. Like, I don't need my kids to actually see me being taken off in cuffs. You know, I don't think they've actually seen the news clip yet, so they still haven't. They've seen me be confronted by the gang of thieves in blue on multiple occasions when their grandfather so graciously set me up and called them on me twice, as I've discussed on the air multiple times. But they've never actually seen that, and I don't need them seeing that. So. But I've actively been trying to sell stuff, and it's just like I have. Anytime I get like nibbles on it, people either want to haggle like way too low. We're not like, I know like the thing's worth, like I might as well just go to a pawn shop at that point, you know, like why am I not just doing that? And, or they like, you know, talk it up and like accept the price and are all ready and email back and forth for days and then just all of a sudden disappear and I never hear from them again. And, you know, so I'm trying to sell stuff. Unfortunately, I haven't any takers. If anybody needs any kid stuff, you know, kids toys, you know, toddler stuff. Heck, we got one of those Barbie Power Wheel Mustangs. Things in like almost mint conditions. My sister bought it for my kids. It almost is, man. My sister bought it from one of my sisters bought it for my kids a little late, and they were already starting to get too big for it. And within like a year or so, my one daughter was way too big for it. So they've only driven it like less than a dozen times. It's been out driving around. So it's like the body's almost in mint condition. Like none of the stickers are faded or peeled off or anything. The battery's like in tip top shape. So, you know, and those things still go. I was seeing them sell for still $300 the other day. I'm offering it for a half price. So if anybody, I don't know, am I allowed to offer sales on the radio? I don't remember that either. It's been so long. Probably not. Just kidding, of course. But people, if you're listening, you know how to get in touch with me. If you need stuff like that, I got plenty of it. But yeah, so that anyway, again, so I took your advice, Shane, and just said, I said, forget it. I might as well put it out there and say, you know, this is my situation. I'm starting a GoFundMe. I don't really want to start a GoFundMe. I never wanted to, but you know, I got my kids to worry about, and unfortunately we're in a really bad spot. And you know, I'm in this horrible position where unless something else extreme happens, which of course is completely possible in this current situation, the way things have gone. But you know, I really should be having this money by the middle of May at the absolute latest. But until then, things are really bad. So I took a shot, and so far people, Shane included, have been extremely generous, and I super appreciate it. Every one of you, you guys rock beyond belief. Even one of my old friends who I haven't heard from since the incident last year, even though he wasn't like a real a-hole to me or anything, he just kind of wagged his finger gently at me. but I haven't heard from him since. Even he donated. So thank you, Mikey. That was really swell of you. I appreciate it. But yeah, man, that's kind of what I'm resorted to. You know, Jen's only working part time, and she unfortunately gets paid by the state, even though she doesn't work for the state. And she had to work for them for almost a month and a half before she got her first paycheck. And
wow, that's out of control.
Yeah. So like. And even that, sure, we'll have a little bit of money, but I don't think it's going to be it won't be enough to clear the credit card issue, because I have to do because, you know, we have to have food for the kids and everything else we need for the kids first. That obviously has to come first. And so that's why I was like, all right, I'll put the GoFundMe up. If I can manage to raise the money to clear the credit card, then great. If I can get more than that and then not have to use the credit card and just say, forget it, I'm not going to bother clearing it until after this house is finally sold, then I could just give them all the money at once. And, you know, so like I said, thankfully there's been some super generous people already, Shane included. So it's been great. And, I, you know, hopefully, I will weather this part of the storm until the next, tragedy comes up, which, you know, could happen tomorrow. We'll see.
And they say those greedy end caps aren't charitable.
Yeah, actually, well, see, it's funny though. Actually, most of the people who, have donated so far would probably not use that label. One of them is a straight out statist.
Oh wow!
Because I know
I actually don't use the label anymore.
No, I was gonna say I don't either. I know you don't. I don't. I'm pretty sure. I'm trying to remember back. I know I'm off the top of my head. The people that I saw donating already. I think only one of the people actually. And they made it public, so I'm allowed to say this. I guess they didn't make their name anonymous. One of our other co-hosts, Cal Molinay, I think I just caught an email from. So thank you very much for your service as well, Cal. I think he's the only one among the group that would actually call himself an ANCAP. But even still, greedy ANCAP like Cal, he donated to the cause. So, you know, that's awesome. You know, but yeah, that is a running joke with ANCAPs. I mean, I pick on a lot of them because I think they're horrible capitalists, because not too many of them actually have any money. And
they're horrible at capitalism.
There you go. They're horrible at capitalism. That's a much better description. But even the ones I know that still carry that label or back in the day when they did, most of them were still pretty generous when it came to stuff like this. You know, it's like, hey, you know, you need help right now. Okay. Kind of just like with that unspoken thing, like, yeah, if I'm ever in this spot, you know, it'd be kind of cool if you did the same thing. And that's just basically it. That's all you're running on, you know, that and gaining social capital, you know, being like, oh, this is somebody you can rely on. This is a good guy. You know, so later on down the road, if you want to do something, which again should be an incentive for capitalists, which I think is in certain people's cases, that's their incentive. That's why they do these nice things. But whatever the reason, people are helping me out. It's awesome. I was overwhelmed last year when I had to go, when the GoFundMe was set up for me and I had no idea it was happening. And then all of a sudden, not only was I told that it was happening, I was told there was issues because people were trying to report it and trying to have it taken down because everybody here on Long Island hated me. But aside from that, it was getting like people were donating left and right. And I was like just overwhelmed by like, I couldn't even possibly begin to keep track of everybody in order to thank everybody to send back like the thank you emails because they shut the thing down twice and it screwed up all like everybody's names got screwed up and I couldn't even track where them like who had like who gave what money where. So I ended up just having to set up like repeated blanket thank yous to everybody. I'm like, if you donated, thank you so much. I wanted to thank everybody personally, but thanks to people trying to screw up my life even further. We lost all that information. So yeah.
Oh wow, man.
But yeah, the community's good. Like there's a lot of great people in this community, and because I'm like I said, I'm super thankful for it. I didn't even promote it. That like I literally just threw it up on my page, and I think I threw it up on the Seeds of Liberty page too. Normally, when I share these for other people, like the ones that I consider worthy, the ones that I donate to, and say, hey, this is somebody that I think really could, you know, use a helping hand. Good person, just in a tough spot, whatever it is. I usually plaster them everywhere. I feel like when it's my own, I feel like kind of like cheesy doing that. I don't know. It's weird.
I know what you mean.
I know I shouldn't. Yep. I'm like, because I'm already asking for help. I made the thing. I made the GoFundMe. My name and my face is plastered on there. Like everybody knows it's me. You know, like I probably shouldn't feel that way. But yeah, just an automatic feeling where like, yeah, I'll put it out there. If a couple other people share it around or whatever, that's great. but yeah, when it does reach members of the freedom, liberty community, even the ones that are at odds with each other, it's great. You know, I learned that the last time, people that I never thought that I didn't really, I thought we were like, we didn't like each other basically. Cause I thought they didn't like me for whatever reason. Like they ended up donating. I found out they don't, you know, sometimes I would find out who donated and it was like one of these people. And it's like, wow. Like even people who supposedly like I thought hated me were still like, oh man, what you're going through is horrible. And I feel bad. Cause it could be any one of us. So here you go. Here's something to help you out, you know, with the legal fees and stuff. So. Yeah,
that's pretty cool when it goes down like that, man. That's really awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, if more people didn't do that, then this entire movement would be a fraud. Because one thing most people can agree on is the voluntary actions thing, right? Like even in the different ideologies, a lot of them are all about voluntary this and voluntary that, no matter what it is. So,
yep, you exactly.
Know, if you're not voluntarily willing to help somebody in need with the only, you know, possible benefit for you is that they would, you know, return a favor to you later on, basically, not necessarily owe you a favor, but like that would be like the basis of it. You know, no contract, nothing like that. Just like, hey, I helped you out. You know, hopefully next time around, if I need, you know, that with only that in your back pocket, then yeah, if you're not doing that, then. What else, you know, what are you talking about with the rest of this liberty stuff that you talk about, you know, like what are you talking about voluntary interactions in any other capacity if you're not thinking along those levels? I'm not saying you have to donate, you know, to every cause or whatever, but if you expect voluntary stuff, especially most people, ANCAPs and a lot of other ideologies I know talk about their idea, you know, their, for lack of a better term, ideal future, it's about, you know, you know, when it comes to charities,
voluntary solutions.
Exactly. Voluntary solutions. Charities. Bring back voluntary charities. Get rid of the government funded garbage that passes for charity. You know? So it's like, well, isn't this voluntary charity on the extreme individual level? Not only are you individually giving money, but you're giving it directly to one person for one specific cause. Like, you don't get more voluntary and individualistic than that, right? I don't know. Maybe, you know, call me crazy.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin?
Agris Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
Absolutely. But yeah. Oh, speaking of fundraisers, you've probably heard of one of the popular cryptocurrencies, Verge. They've been, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been pushing this fundraiser so that they can have a partnership with this unknown, unnamed partner that they were going to release. And I guess they were pushing back the date on the announcement for the last 3 weeks at least. And they've raised, you know, $7 to $10 million, I think, for this partnership. And just what, yesterday or today, they finally announced who the partnership was with.
This was exciting.
Yeah. Have you guys heard about this?
I did. Yep. I did catch a couple of headlines earlier. Yes.
Yeah. So it came out.
The one.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the one product that nobody pays for anymore.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they just yesterday or today, they announced a partnership with Pornhub, and Pornhub even has like an advertisement on their main page that says, oh, we now accept Verge cryptocurrency as payment, you know, for our premium videos. Well, nobody watches those premium videos. They always just go there for the free stuff, you know.
Well, the smart people do. I'm pretty sure that site, even with their ads, even the ones like bypass most ad blockers and stuff like that, even with all that type of stuff, I don't think they would be doing as well as they did if some people weren't making use of those services. On the whole, I definitely believe most people use it. You know, allegedly, I may have been there once or twice in my life, and I definitely would not pay. I would not pay for it. But I think some people have to be using those premium services.
Well, I do admit to having watched porn in the past, but I have never once paid for it. So there's that. But anyway, for the last few weeks, I guess, during this fundraiser, people have been, you know, investing, and the price has gone up. Like Verge has like kind of pumped over the last few weeks. And then when all those investors and Verge holders found out today who the partner was actually with, because they really hyped it. They hyped it as the biggest partnership in cryptocurrency history, you know. And everybody found out, they dumped their Verge, and the price is even lower than it was when they started. So as they say in crypto investing, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news. And that's exactly what everyone did. They bought on the rumor and they sold on the news.
Man, that is
crazy.
That's awesome.
I heard a rumor too. Well, I mean, it's pretty verifiable from a couple of people I know in the crypto space that Verge was not their first choice.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, not Pornhub's first choice, you mean?
Exactly. Apparently, they approached some other teams. And they were not interested. So I don't know if they weren't, they didn't like that idea of publicity or whatever, but apparently...
Pickens were slim for Pornhub, I guess.
Verge was at least their third choice from what I know.
Wow. Well, I mean, you said it at the beginning, John, but that was actually the best line. That was part of the best line I saw about this thing the whole day. Was somebody responded to like one of the like original, like one of the first comments to somebody posting an article about this today was only Verge holders would be excited about, you know, having something that everybody gets for free, you know, like only those idiots that were excited about Verge in the first place. Because I know so many people that have been calling Verge a scam and, you know, a poo coin for the longest time and saying they're not, you know, they're not going to do anything. And it's people that are getting it all hyped up about it. The little pump and dumps they've done are just going to get burned in the end. It's one of those coins just not going to go anywhere. I know a lot of people that hold that opinion. So this was even funnier. It was like, man, they really got him good. I hope at least some people. I hope some people made out. How high did it get today?
What scared? Oh, I don't think it got.
Not today. Not today.
It got up to 20 cents and then it dumped down below 10, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, my issue with it, like, you know, it wasn't necessarily how I felt about the team or the tech or anything like that, but the circulating supply is so massive. It's like you're really gonna for that to be a coin that makes you a lot of money at this point, like that a lot of people are going to have to buy into that specifically a lot. And, you know, I think they have one of the highest circulating supplies out there and total supply too.
Yeah, with such a high circulating supply, you'll have to have a large movement in price to really affect, you know, the total market cap, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would need to be like the top cryptocurrency for it to go to like, you know, a couple hundred bucks probably.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Or I had that backwards actually. In order to move their market cap significantly, the price would have to shoot way up. And it's really unlikely to do that at this point.
Well, especially now. I mean, I mean, I like I said, I never got into the whole Verge scene anyway. I kind of laughed at it with everybody else. It was one of those things I could just kind of took the word on a bunch of people I trust, and I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna stay away from that. But just the fact that obviously I totally understand Pornhub's position about trying to find a crypto to work with, because you know. And I think any smart business in the current day has to see the potential of just, I mean, the crypto is one thing, but even just like the blockchain technology stuff, like integrating that into their companies, like you have to think that pretty much all companies are thinking that way now. So yeah, I could totally understand why Pornhub would want to get on board with that.
And especially a company where the customers prefer anonymity, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Which is funny that they ended up with Verge, because another thing I saw somebody point out today that I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's like, yeah, they're like, yeah, Verge is about as anonymous as Bitcoin. So,
well, yeah, I guess, well, Verge's privacy feature is enabled by something called the Wraith protocol, which is sound technology, but I believe in order to use it as a private coin, you actually have to enable that. You have to like toggle it, and I think a lot of people might not realize that, and they'll make a Verge transaction and it's not actually private.
Well, exactly, and that's one of those things that's not, if it's not in there by default, it's like the opinion I've heard from a lot of people that kind of makes sense to me, and that's kind of how I've like snap judgments I make on some of this stuff is like, yeah, if it's that vulnerable because it's not default that way, then it's not really worth it. Like why bother? Right. Like they can promise you all this other stuff, but yeah, too many people are going to slip up, and yeah, it may not be you. You may not be get screwed, but if enough people do, then more people will lose confidence in it, and less people will use it, and then yours is worthless. So regardless of how good you are about being private with it, if nobody else is, then the coin's still worthless, and then you're screwed.
Yeah. Do you know actually where Verge came from?
It was a Dogecoin clone or fork, wasn't it?
Well, it was actually a clone. A lot of people say it was a hard fork of Dogecoin, but what they did was they cloned the code and added the privacy feature to it. But for the longest time, it was actually called Dogecoin Dark, and they not too long ago rebranded into Verge to try to separate themselves from Dogecoin, which I think originally was seen as kind of a joke. You know, it was like a joke coin that actually took off.
It's still seen as a joke. Except the only people that I know that have taken it seriously in any aspect are actually some of the hardcore traders that I know that use it as their dumping point when they're trying to like hold money in a certain place that it's going to be that they need to keep the price steady for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
that's a great
alternative to Tether.
Exactly. They use it for what Tether promises. You know, if you're trying to catch fluctuations in the market and try to sell high, buy low type of things, and you need a good dumping ground temporarily, then yeah, that's what Tether promised. And yeah, that didn't seem to go so well. That thing's still around. Did that collapse yet? That whole Tether thing?
It actually hasn't collapsed yet. A lot of people are still, and a lot of exchanges are still using Tether as kind of their intermediary when they exchange from one coin to another. A lot of people,
yeah, their internal crypto, right? That's basically how it works.
Yeah, I tried using it once, and the charge was like $26 to move it from one to move in and out of it. And
oh, wow.
After that, I was like, okay, I'm never doing that again. I might as well just take the risk of putting it into floating it into something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At that point, you're definitely better off using Dogecoin.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, I think a lot of people still see Doge as a joke. But yeah, it's definitely useful for those purposes. I mean, it's still never like what's the highest it's ever hit? I mean,
it hit like 2 cents, man. it got up to like 2 cents, which for that circulating supply is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess if you have, I mean, if I think of it in terms like that, because sure, there's a couple of coins I have that are worth like absolutely nothing, but if they jump to that, it'd be insane. So yeah, I guess if you're hodling a lot of those, and then you get the chance to dump them at 2 cents.
There were a lot of people who were, and it got crazy around January, and now it's back to a reasonable price because everything was crazy in January.
Yeah. But supposedly, it like Dogecoin Dark, a lot of people say it was a hard fork, but it wasn't. It was just a clone of the code.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know that's happened with a couple other coins. And I know it's easier for me to get confused with the terminology and remember which one's which. So I understand why other people do too. But yeah, as far as I remember, that was the story with that one. And I read all that today, and then I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I totally forgotten about all that.
I remember when Verge was coin of the week.
That was McAfee thing, right?
I saw an article, I don't know how true it is, that he was charging like $50,000 to do that to the developers at each coin that he was
It was like $150,000 that he was charging your coin.
I heard multiple stories somewhere, but anywhere between $25,000 to like $200,000. I think I heard different stories, but to pump the coin. And I'm pretty sure, as crazy as that guy is, I wouldn't put it past him that he was on the up and up in that. And every one of those coins he pumped, he got paid for. You know, like I believe
basically what he does.
Yeah,
he just gets paid to shill a coin. But thankfully, the YouTubers and stuff that I follow, they're a little bit better when it comes to understanding the fundamentals of crypto. And if they do get paid to shill something, they usually tell you up front about it.
McAfee was up front about it. I give him credit. Like, he gets credit for that. He told everybody what he was doing with that weak thing. It came out pretty early on. He's like, yeah, totally. He's like, yeah, I'm just picking coins out. He's like, I'm not. You know, he stopped short of don't take my advice, but you know, basically that's what he's letting everybody know, like, you're idiots for following me and doing this, but whatever, it's working, and I'm making money.
He's a gangster, man.
He is
such a gangster.
But you know, the whole, I mean, I still haven't been paying it, like the Verge thing with Pornhub obviously caught my eye today. That's kind of a headline, was kind of hard to miss, especially because everybody was posting it in any of the crypto groups I'm in, and they all popped up in my feed today. So when I took a quick glance, I saw it a bunch of times. But I've still largely not been paying attention because I know the market's still been down largely, although I have seen...
It's back, dude.
It's coming back. And
Slowly.
But especially what was brought to my attention today, which makes me super, super happy, is that one of the ones that's moving really strongly again, and actually took one of the, didn't take as much of a hit as a lot of the other ones, was Monero. And not only is it climbing back up rather steadily again, but Fluffy Pony and the team over there recently kicked butt. Yep. By doing the hard fork and kicking the ASIC miners, because Bitmain, right? That's the company that owns
Bitmain.
Yeah, the Bitmain and their ASIC miners found a way to get into Monero, which was supposed to be ASIC resistant. Apparently, it was resistant. It wasn't completely impervious.
And proof.
They managed to get in. And people started mining Monero with the ASICs and totally screwed the difficulty, to the point where I had actually ended up having, I mean, I've talked about this before, I do mine a little crypto on the side, and Monero was my coin of choice, and I actually had to stop because the difficulty raised so high that even with the pretty good machine that I had built myself, it wasn't worth it anymore. So I and a lot of other people had to drop out, and they finally did something about it, and the difficulty has dropped way back down again to the point where even for people like me, it's profitable again. So it's wonderful. Yay. And Fluffy followed through. He swore up and down that if people tried this with the ASIC miners, he would hard fork this thing, and he would keep control. The team would keep control of it. And he kept saying, you know, obviously everybody's going to follow us. The community's going to follow us. It wasn't even a matter of like, hey, you know, what does the community want to do? He's like, no, we're doing this, and we know this is what you want, so you're going to do it. And sure enough, they did it, and woohoo. So, you know, talk about privacy coin. Still my favorite privacy coin. Of course, none of this, that anything we say could not be construed as actual financial advice. But if you're going to get into the crypto world, I would highly advise at least taking a strong, long, hard look at XMR, otherwise known as Monero.
That's right.
Otherwise known as Monero.
Do your own research. But with that said, Monero is also my favorite privacy coin. And Fluffy Pony is awesome. Not only did he hard fork to get around the ASIC problem, but he's also working on the scaling issues, which he readily admits Monero has scaling problems. It's not going to see global adoption until they integrate the second layer solution, which he's totally in favor of. So we could see pretty soon here.
What is the second layer solution?
He was talking Lightning, well, you know how, like, right?
Yeah, Lightning Network. Trying to become compatible with Lightning Network so that not only would you have a privacy coin on the Lightning Network, so you got almost two layers of privacy there, because Lightning Network itself kind of adds a little bit of privacy to the cryptos that it's compatible with. So like, say, Bitcoin, for example, if you use the Lightning Network to do a Bitcoin transaction, that transaction is at least private on the Lightning Network, because you don't really know, like, the people who are routing those transactions, they don't know who it's coming from or who it's going to.
I see. Aren't there some centralization issues with the Lightning Network?
Well, okay, that's one of the things that a lot of opponents of the Lightning Network like to put out there. But I think for the most part, that's kind of FUD. I've been watching Andreas Antonopoulos recently, and he talks about how a lot of this stuff is not really true. Now I see how I understand the arguments behind, like, you know, these giant hubs becoming centralized, you know, with these open channels that contain, you know, a lot of crypto. But Andreas Antonopoulos explained it how they're actually disincentivized to have too much crypto in an open channel for too long. So I really don't think that the centralization is going to be a problem with Lightning Network. I really think that we need to, now that the mainnet is live, I think people need to just learn how to use it and try it out and see how it works. I think it's going to be great. And especially with atomic swaps, all the coins that are compatible with Lightning Network.
Hold up. We're really going to have to dumb some of this down, because we used to do the Bitcoin and the crypto talk a lot, but some of these terms are new.
I was about to unbury that lead.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Atomic swaps are a way that you can kind of exchange one crypto into another without actually going through a third party exchange. This can all be done on the second layer. So, coin for coin,
like you have a Monero, I have a Bitcoin, and we swap them.
Exactly.
Wow.
Kind of like how Shapeshift works.
Yeah,
peer to peer instead.
But peer to peer without going through a third party.
Wow, I didn't realize that's. I've stayed out of the scene for a little while. I had no idea what that's. I didn't really look into the atomic swaps. I had no idea what that was all about. That's insane.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about Lightning Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you know, there's a lot of controversy, especially with the cash fork and everything. So.
Bitcoin cash fork, yes.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. So,
and it is a lot of that FUD does come from Roger. You know,
I've heard it most often.
The same things over and over, whether they're true or not.
Those criticisms I've heard most from him. Yes, this is true. Roger. Used to be such a big fan.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Vanat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, Fest. .org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Anyway. I wasn't that aware of the atomic swap things, but most of the ideas of the Lightning Network, I had been, it had been explained to me and I understood, and I did use it once or twice and I was like, well, it seems to work really cool, really well. So, all right, cool. I think, like anything, I think you're right, Shane. You know, people just got to try it, test it out and see. And, you know, if it ends up doing even most of what it's promising, then it's a huge leap forward, which is, you know, insane considering where we are in the time sphere with this whole thing to begin with. You know, this huge leap forward now too, like a couple of years later, it's awesome, man. It's just the whole everything behind all of this technology. Just, you know, I criticize technology a lot, because I am a quasi Luddite, but this particular technology I love, especially because the just the rapid pace that it can change like this and upgrade that just so continuously like this just warms my heart, because I know that it's going to be able to stay ahead of the governments as well as anything else has been able to over the course of time. You know, just because government's going to constantly try to be playing the catch up. And once they actually figure out some way to tax somebody or do what, you know, try to make something illegal, somebody's going to have a workaround within like months. And things will continue as they were, and even better. And the government will be left scratching their head for a few months, and they'll start all over again. And the process will continue. And like I said, that those thoughts warm my heart. Anything that brings pain and anguish to the state like that, always a good thing for me.
Yeah, and there's basically a huge ground for competition of, you know, I mean, of course you have your statist groups in there who have their statist coins and such, but there are also like groups of crypto anarchist hackers who are competing in this crazy marketplace to undermine the government in the best way. And that is like one of the most fascinating things about it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, counter economic strategies.
It's really crazy. And it's like we're able to like watch it all unfold. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that is a really good point, because for me, especially as like a history buff and stuff, as much as I love looking back and you know, learning all this stuff and like learning about what actually happened, like being able to get some of this stuff in real time, I definitely have a bigger appreciation for it than I did like when I was younger. Like, because I've lived, you know, I'm 41 years old now, so I've lived through a decent amount of stuff already, because crazy stuff has happened in the past four decades around here. especially where the United States is confirmed. So I've lived through a lot of stuff, you know, 9/11, I'm here in New York, and I actually lost there's multiple friends and family members of mine in that building that I lost. So like I was one of the people who was directly affected by that, you know, and all these things. But, you know, good or bad, I now, like, you know, especially now after I've gained a much better perspective on myself and life in general. I think I still know that I know nothing, but at least I know more than I used to, that type of thing. Now I have a greater appreciation for being able to be present for these things, especially to be able to pass the knowledge on, you know, while also, you know, during the same time learning how twisted history has become, and, you know, the story that most people get is not really the truth, you know, being able to live through these things and actually document them in real time and have like honest eyewitness accounts, and not just eyewitness accounts, like record these things, you know, doing podcasts for posterity on them, or shooting videos at the moment these things are happening while you're there. I think for me, these are like some of the most invaluable moments. And hopefully it'll lead to being able to show the subsequent generations more and more early on just how horrible things are. It's like, if things haven't changed by the time they come around, yeah, listen, you guys really need to change this stuff like now, like yesterday, because we've been trying to warn you. But yeah, so yay technology in that regard.
Yeah. And as far as global adoption goes, Bitcoin actually took a big step recently. I think, you know, the other day, because Bitcoin's been climbing very slowly, which is kind of a healthy climb rather than...
It's been climbing and dropping. I've seen it go up over 8, close to 9, and then drop back down to close to 6, yeah, like 6.5 again multiple times over the past couple of months.
It's having a slower, more healthy climb than it did in the run-up, the FOMO run-up back in December. And but there was, what, last week, it jumped from 7,000 to 8,000 in 1 hour. And they said during that hour, Bitcoin had the largest buying volume that it had ever had in history. And I think that's probably due to the recent headline that came out about the Islamic scholar who declared Bitcoin to be halal.
I saw
which
that.
Which I guess is considered, there's halal and haram, which is halal is good and haram is bad or forbidden. And so now that, you know, Islam has officially declared Bitcoin to be okay, now a lot of Muslim investors are getting involved, and some of them have a lot of money to throw at it.
It just opened the door to 1.6 billion people. that if they're any level of practicing Muslim had been forbidden from using this up until this point. So yeah, that's a huge deal.
And that's probably what was responsible for that huge 1 hour climb where it went from 7,000 to 8,000 and had the highest volume that had ever had in history for that 1 hour.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't even hear that angle. That's really interesting.
Yep.
It's funny. I had seen like the price fluctuation recently and I heard that story, but I actually didn't look into it enough to put the two together. But yeah, it makes perfect sense. Because, like, you know, like I said, that's a lot of people. You know, obviously, some of those are kids and whatever, and some of them aren't getting into cryptos, but it's opening the door to that many people who had previously, on some level, been like disallowed from doing so. I mean, I'm sure there was people, there was Muslims who had been using Bitcoin or whatever, but, you know, like, just that freedom, especially in any type of religious environment that has certain confines, and it's like, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do this, even if people are doing it. After a certain extent, because they're just like, we, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, this is so old school. You know, we need to change with the times. Once it's finally allowed, it's a big weight off of everybody's shoulders, you know? So, and that can all, like I said, I think that could only be good news for the cryptosphere, which is awesome. So, yeah, man, go.
Yeah, a lot of the.
Everybody go out and everybody go out and buy some halal Bitcoins. Get on that.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of the countries.
For global adoption. Go ahead.
Where a lot of the countries where they have, you know, large Muslim populations too, is they have, I would think, quite a bit of a need for this too, probably even more so than in the West. You know, traditional banking credit is probably more sparse in, you know, those parts of the world. So I think that they would probably have more of an imperative to get involved than, you know, your American investor, your typical American investor. And even to everyday people out there as well, because, you know, I think mainstream adoption is seen more in the developing world even than it is here. You know, here it's still kind of a novelty to most people that are into it.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we have bank accounts and stuff like that we can use. But in a lot of those countries where they might not have a bank account that they can use, then they now have, you know, an alternative, especially in the Muslim world now.
Yeah, crypto becomes invaluable in those situations, and you—I mean, you've seen it. It was happening in different places in the South America, and in Cuba. It was happening for a while too. I remember my buddy Dave from the Seeds of Liberty when he first got connected with there was an ANCAP movement that was building in Cuba and a couple of other Central American countries. I can't remember exactly which ones they were at the moment. Ecuador might actually be one of them for some reason stuck in my head. Anyway, but all these people were like starting to get together, and they were like, they had already figured, like, that's what they figured out. It's like, this crypto is the only way we can do these things. Cause like, even if people have bank accounts in that particular country, a lot of the poor people don't have them, like you said. So like, this was becoming a savior for all these things. Some of the people in Venezuela were trying to turn to that until the Venezuelan government decided to try to put out their own crypto.
I was just going to mention that. I actually talked to a guy on Steemit from Venezuela pretty regularly, and he says that, you know, despite that them cracking down, that people still do it a lot.
That's awesome to hear. That's good to hear.
Yeah, he said that it's still like it's even growing now since they tried to put the smackdown on it. He said that kind of only made people more curious and more like knowledgeable that there was an alternative.
Well, of course. And of course, well, once again, a huge smack in the face of the idea that prohibition works. And so many people will just completely ignore that. That's actually a point that I think should be, I mean, I'm sure somebody's focused on that, but if they haven't, I mean, John, if you haven't written a story about that, write one about that. That should be a focus of
a
lot of people should focus on that. The fact that because it's happened before. I mean, look what happened at the end of the Soviet Union. I mean, some people say, and I think it could be argued pretty well, actually, that the black market actually kept the Soviet Union from collapsing sooner. But it also made the transition easier for a lot of people, because otherwise so many more of them would have died in the process if it had not been for the black market, when everything was completely haywire and they had like complete control and like everybody was poor and there was, you know, starvation was happening again, stuff like that. Like, if it wasn't for the black market, you know, as things were collapsing around them because the government had just run its course, which is supposed to eventually happen with all of them. I don't know what's taken so long with this one that we live under.
I also think that with the Soviet Union, that the black market kind of helped them put the nail in the coffin too. That's kind of one of the theories that I've always had. I think I've written about it a little bit too, that you know, that black market, as you said, was expanding as the, you know, the economy, the government, the civilization was declining there. And I definitely think that as the people were basically accidentally engaging in agorism, they were slowly taking power away from the state and bringing it down to themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I could tell. Yeah, I could tell. Yeah, I think you're right. Like I said, I think the argument that it prolonged the state to a certain extent, I think you can actually make both arguments, because it did to a certain extent, but it was only because it was making things better for the people in the process, and it allowed the state to get away with things for a little bit more. But you know, that's a good enough trade off for me, because the state still ended and people ended up better off. So you know what, I call that a win.
Yeah, and I feel like that's probably better than like an extremely abrupt like ripping of the Band-Aid off. You know what I'm saying? I think that
we're
always asked that, like if you want to flip a light switch or push a button and have it all end in one second.
I said yes for the first like couple of months I was an anarchist, and then I quickly realized how stupid that was, and then I was like, no, don't want to push the button. No, we're not ready to push the button yet. No, bad things will happen if we push the button right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't trust humanity enough.
I think that the whole idea of turning to the black market in those times and turning to underground markets, it kind of gives you a net to fall into as the civilization's crumbling.
Of course. And I mean, for me, it fits perfectly with the whole idea, like how I'm trying to live my life currently, you know, by doing things, but, you know, being more about action instead of just sitting around and theorizing. And even though I've said in multiple things, multiple pieces of content I put out recently, how much I enjoy being in front of a microphone, and this is where I feel most comfortable. Even though I'm going to continue to do that because I like sitting behind the mic, I am going to, you know, I'm trying to get out and do things to show other people what can be done. And, you know, part of the black market is creating the gray market, if you want to take it like to the full extent. Like, what is it? If there's a theory out there that's based on the black, gray, white and red markets, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to take it to that extent, some of these may be gray market instead. But, you know, if you're creating something to compete with the state, to compete with any of the monopolies, which are the hardest things to convince people that you can live without the state providing it, you know, in order to do those things, in almost all situations, you're going to have to work outside the state to do that. So you're automatically putting yourself in the black or gray market. So if you're going to do those type of things and try to show other people like what can be done, then yeah, you by default have to go into the black market. And that is part of showing people, hey, well, look at this. Oh, we don't need the state for this. Oh, we could do this on our own. It's going to cost us a heck of a lot less. And the service is going to be better. Where do I sign?
Yeah. And that's kind of what Derek's tour is all about, is, you know, teaching individuals and communities how to do that kind of thing from the ground up.
Yeah. Well, I'm all on board with that. You know, I've been trying to nail Derek down for an interview for a long time too, to try to talk to him. I've been all about that for a long time too. And that's, you know, pretty much, like I said, that's my angle these days. The whole reason I'm trying to get out of here is not just because I hate New York. I mean, that has a lot to do with it. Like I've said a lot lately. I'm sure it's mostly psychosomatic, but I've started to feel physically ill being here. Like the longer I'm here, I'm really starting to feel physically ill. And it's not like tainted water or like, you know, whatever, like any of that stuff. It's just like the state, the culture here is just sucking the life out of me. And so, yeah, that has a big part of one needing to get out. But on top of that, you know, I've talked about it before. I have big plans. You know, not only do I want to just start a farm for the sake of having a farm, like I want to start a farm that I can hopefully build a community around, where I'm, you know, trying to work on projects with other people and integrate different things, like you know, private schooling and all these different things, so we can create this little community of people to again show people what can be done, even now, just outside the system, and how well we can function and how well we can pull these things off. And you know, starting with the individual and then just starting with these very little communities and just building, you know, not even full towns, just like, you know, literally like building your own little community on like whatever acreage you can manage to all scrap together to purchase or whatever, you know, that type of thing, and building outward. And I really believe that that's one of the most effective ways, if not the most currently, to really reach people these days. Because with the whole fake news thing and the ever increasing divide that's forced by the narratives on both sides, you know, they love to drive the divide and conquer tactics, both of them, because it benefits both sides. So they both do it. And, you know, with the culture the way it is now about that, and everybody's so uptight already, it's even harder for just like our message, whether in our writing or our podcasting or whatever, to actually get through, because we can be dismissed as fake news very easily. Plenty of us have actually been listed as fake news, whether, you know, our buddy Paul, yep. Our buddy Paul Gordon sent us a screenshot the other day. He was at his Twitter account was actually listed on that site, Bot or Not. Twitter bot. Oh, wow. Or not. Yeah, his Twitter account's listed as a fake bot.
Wow, you know, that's ridiculous.
Well, plenty of people I know have been listed as either fake news by certain organizations or whatever. So with like that type of climate, it's so much easier to dismiss us. But if you're out there doing it and actually showing people, hey, you know, look, just take a look over here. You don't have to like believe me. You don't have to like, you know, take my word for it. Just take a look. And, you know, then all of a sudden that can get people, I think that'll take the people's wheels turning a lot quicker. And, I don't know. That's what I'm all about these days. So I'm a big fan of Derek and what he preaches. Cause, yeah, I dig that whole thing, man.
Worms.
Indeed, man.
Yeah. And, speaking of worms, I'm looking at the clock. I think we probably got about like 4.5 minutes left, somewhere in that territory. I can maths. I went to public school, so I'm sorry. I can't be responsible for, my inability to do addition and subtraction on a very short time scale. Anyway,
thanks, Common Core.
Oh yeah, I can't even blame it on that. I was there way before Common Core.
I was too, but you could still blame it on the whole, you know, the Prussian model in general. And I know that you're not that old, man.
No. Of course, you know. No, that's what I'm saying. I could blame it on that, but yeah, even then, like it's hard to even screw that part up. And the mathematics part, I actually got really early on. But yeah, I was getting that in like the early '80s, so it's been a long time. I can't really blame that anymore. I'm just lazy. But anyway, yeah, this has been fun. I'm glad both of you guys were available tonight. This turned out to be
me too.
I mean,
anyway, just like the old days.
I know it is. Indeed. So it's so funny. Until you guys started to say that at the beginning, that totally slipped my mind. Like I obviously know we did a ton of shows together on Sunday nights, and that like used to be our routine. But that's how twisted my life has gotten very recently. And you know,
yeah, it's the thing to be distracted.
Yeah, and this this is actually something else that came up in the conversation I had with Jen last night, was the fact that I know another part of the reason that I'm so on edge. I mean, obviously, like anybody can look at my situation, like if they want to look at it honestly and look through everything I've had to go through, regardless of whether, like, you know, whether it's the legal things, like technically I started all of this with my viral post. Like I totally get that. And I've always taken responsibility for that. And everything I've done, I've taken responsibility for, you know, but like, I've been dealt a really crappy hand when it comes to the legal side of this. And like, that's well documented now with like the videos I've been doing and all this other stuff. Like just how much I've gone through. And now this mess with my house, it's, you know, obviously there's certain things that, you know, I had to take care of on my end, which is normal procedure for this, but it's all based on the state. I'm already angry because of the issues I have with the state. So this just, that exacerbates the problem. And then the additional problems that have been out of my control that have been other people's screw ups, like all of this stuff, obviously, like, I think most people, I would like to think, looking from the outside, could say, yeah, you get to be stressed right now. We get it, you know, but on top of all that, for the first time in an extremely long time, I am almost completely out of any type of routine whatsoever in my life, because I re-retired again a couple of weeks ago, and last week was the first full week that I have spent in over a dozen years, and maybe even longer than that, I can't even remember, where I didn't work for an entire week with no expectation of going back to work the following week. And not having like this routine of like where I listen to my podcast and like I see my kids in the morning and then I go to work for a while and I come back and all like, and you know, whatever, like completely everything's gone. And for somebody like me who has battled, like, you know, I mean, we joked about it on the show before, you know, my Aspergerianism, I've battled OCD throughout my life. I'm a bit of a perfectionist and all those type of things, you know, not having a routine is never a good thing for me. I don't like, I lock up a lot. So like that's all happened. Like I realized that. And yeah, man, routines are important. So much so that I forgot our routine that just only ended a couple of months ago. That's like, that's how off I am. That it took me a couple of months to totally forget that. Oh yeah, we used to do these things all the time on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
I should have recognized that as soon as both of you answered the original email. Right over my head.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
But yeah, anyway. So yeah, this was a lot of fun. I hope everybody listening enjoyed this. We do have like a minute or so left. I do just quickly want to mention, because Michael had sent me an email that I mentioned I was reading earlier while Shane was explaining the story of the new possible honey he met from Florida woman. Number one, he wanted me to mention that Cell 401, of course, our most wonderful sponsor. Getcell401.com, the wonderful app that allows you to record and also reach out to friends, family members, and neighbors in cases of emergency, because they can almost always respond quicker than any of the state monopolized services can. And you run a lot less risk of your dog being shot in the process when a lot of those people show up. So that's great. It also is a ride sharing app. And we love it. Virgil, who created it, is a friend of the show and somebody I always give a lot of praise to, because he's a great guy as far as I'm concerned. So thank you for your service, Virgil. And yeah, getcell401.com is the website. So check that out. So anyway, with that, I guess we'll get wrapping up. Thanks again, guys. It's been a lot of fun. For everybody else, thank you for listening. For more of us, go to freedomfiends.com. We'll catch you next time. Worms.
Worms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.